Live from Owings Mills, another Purple Report by WNST correspondent Luke Jones.
John Harbaugh met with the media for a final look back at the Week 3 win over the Cowboys.
Okay, good seeing everybody here. Appreciate you guys being here. Got back last night pretty late. A lot of coaches, we came in, worked, went to sleep, got up, worked again. So we're getting into the grind now for Buffalo. They play tonight. So probably watch that game on TV like you guys, like everybody else. But do all the work we can up until that point, and be a big, big tough challenge for us. Sunday night football, our crowd, looking forward to that. So be a big AFC game, and we're going to have to, you know, continue to improve a lot to be ready for that challenge. So what questions do you have?
John, first, happy birthday for you.
So, thank you, yeah. Jameson.
With Justin Tucker, he's now missed a field goal in each of the first games, which is not like him, all wide left. What do you make from the misses? And it also, I think the TV showed that you talked to Justin after as soon as the game ended. What was part of that conversation as well?
Yeah, from a conversation standpoint, we're pretty close. You know, we've been together for a long time and had a lot of conversations and we know each other. So that was just two guys talking about, you know, where we're at. And I just love the guy, respect him. He's everything that you want in a player and a friend. So that was really the basis of that. But beyond that, you know, for Justin, it's just a technique issue right now that he's working through. I think he's got a technique thing going on, and he'll work through it. He knows exactly what it is and just needs to smooth it back out. And I'm very confident that he will.
Coach, what do you see on film as far as the biggest challenge as far as getting outscored in the fourth quarter in the past two games?
Yeah, I mean, the two things go to that. Pass rush and pass coverage tie together, you know. So we're rushing the passer well, but we can be a little more consistent in terms of our rush lanes and some of our games and things like that, and then being on point with that. And then coverage is just getting a little loose in the fourth quarter for whatever reason. So that's something that we just have to just understand. Sometimes a call is going to go against you. It may be right. It may not be right. But you can't let that change the way you play. You still got to play the coverage the way it's played. If it's an inside leverage, you play inside leverage. You know, if it's supposed to be down on a route, you're supposed to be down on a route. Get down on it. So don't be playing like not to give up the big play all the time. You just play the defense the way it's been played. And we've got really good players back there, and I'd like to see them play that way from a confidence standpoint, the way they did the rest of the game. You know, we were forcing a lot of tight window throws in the first half. Play the same way in the third quarter, and then play even more that way in the fourth quarter and make them earn it. And I do think sometimes we're just getting a little, maybe it's under brain, weighing in our brains a little bit about not letting that happen, and then it happens. So we're capable of it. We just got to get it done.
Coach, were you given the explanation on tackle sack?
They said that he lifted him up and dumped him into the ground. That's what they said that they saw.
Absolutely. Yeah. In the tape, are there a number of maybe calls that you'll send back into the league and get a clarification on anything that stand out?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not allowed to comment on that, you know, but like I always say, you know, the best I can say is the things that we can see are wrong that we'll coach our guys on. You know, the things that we can say that we can't see that are wrong, we'll ask the league about. And if they confirm that it wasn't a wrong play by the guy, we'll let them know. You know, that's all we can really do. But, there are some head-scratchers, but there's also some ones that are legit. And when you have the number that we have right now, it's too many. I mean, that's just something that's got to get cleaned up. So the ones that maybe shouldn't be called, and we can't do anything about those. But the ones that should be called, we got to clean those up. And that's on us. It's our responsibility to do it. It's hurting us. I mean, it's costing us points in the end. So that's a matter of playing football the right way in all those situations. And I guarantee you, we're going to be on our guys to do it right. They want to do it the right way. It's our responsibility to make sure they do it the right way all the time, as much as possible. And we got to get better at that.
John, did you ever, look like there's a long conversation with Tolbert on the sideline after the illegal touching penalty or on the near safety? Did you get an explanation for why that wasn't a potential ground in the end zone?
Yeah, I've never heard of this before, and I guess I don't know if it's something that kind of came up there. If they've seen this before, I'm not sure. But they said that it's not intentional grounding because somebody caught it, even though it's an illegal receiver that caught it, which is a penalty. So basically, they get rewarded for having a penalty there. You know, that's kind of probably not what they want by the rule. So we'll see. Maybe it's a loophole in the rule. I'm not sure. Something they'll probably look at. But because he because a receiver caught it, you can't call intentional grounding, even though it's an illegal receiver and there's no eligible receiver in the area, which would constitute grounding. So that's kind of how they – that's what he explained to me.
Going back to Justin Tucker, feels like maybe the first slump of his career. How have you approached coaching him, working with him, and just something that seems foreign for a guy that is the most accurate in NFL history, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Justin knows that we support him. I've tried to make sure he knows that. You know, that's part of it, just relationship-wise. I mean, the talent, the ability, all that stuff is there. You know, that hasn't gone anywhere. We see it all the time. But it's a technique thing. I think we approach from a technical standpoint. Randy Brown does a great job coaching that part of it. That's Randy's Randy's the foremost guy in the business at that. So they work on that every single day. You know, for me, I just try to encourage what I see and understand with the technique as well. But Justin's a pro, you know, and I have great belief that he'll get the job done.
John, maybe it's related to what you were saying about the pass coverage earlier, but I think you guys are second in yards given up to tight ends, second in yards given passing yards given up between the hashes. Are you concerned? I mean, especially when you look at the spine of your defense, it has some of your best players. Are you concerned about what's going on in the middle of the field right now?
Absolutely. It's the easiest place to complete passes, the middle of the field. You know, and, you know, you got to get between the quarterback and the football. And we're not doing a good job of that. So it's got to stop. We've got to put a stop to it.
John, when you got your sort of closer second look at the offensive line, did you come away? I mean, I guess what observations did you come away with? And did that sort of redouble your confidence in that group going forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think we took a step. You know, we took a step. Offensive line as a team, the good news is we came a long way. And the good news is we have a long way to go. And that's good news because that gives us an opportunity to get a lot better. So I see great upside in our whole team. I also see great upside in our offensive line. But by no means were we perfect anywhere. You know, especially, you know, in the offensive line, they played well. We got a lot of rushing yards. But there's plenty of things to get better at.
John, along those lines, a couple of the guys really made a point to shout out Daniel Fowler.
Yeah.
Some of the scrutiny and, you know, questions about coming into the position for him. You know, in reviewing the tape, what did you like about how he played? And, you know, if it wasn't, you know, improvement and everything, what do you think made the difference compared to maybe the first couple of games?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, he's a young player and he's growing. I think he just had a little more a sense of, like, understanding of what it was going to take. You know, he wasn't playing tentative. Maybe he played a little tentative maybe early on if you want to just dig into psychology. But he played with more aggressiveness. You know, he came off the ball. He moved people. He knocked people off the ball. He got up on linebackers. He cut people off. He knocked down blocks down across. You know, he knocked tackles across the center sometimes, you know. Some things that made those runs really go. He was a big part of that, along with the other guys, you know. So that was good. And yet there were other things that he didn't do as well, and he knows that he can keep getting better at. So, again, Daniel came a long way in that game. I think he's kind of indicative of that whole statement. I mean, the good news is he's got a long way to go, and he's capable of so much more.
John, you guys have used heavy sets and for years, and Patrick Carr has been a huge part of that. But, you know, this week in particular, is there something with some of those bigger sets that you thought worked well against the Cowboys, and you feel like some of those packages are essential going forward in the coming week?
Yeah, I mean, we live in a lot of worlds football-wise with, you know, our versatility. I think it's a strength. Sometimes it can be considered not, you know. Some teams come out and they play 11 personnel the whole game and spread you out and don't motion anybody. Sometimes they use motion. You know, different teams have different approaches. I think one of our approaches is that we have a lot of multiple personnel groups that we use. That's kind of the way we go. So from one game to the next, you'll probably see different emphasis in different places probably. But to be able to, you know, to be able to run the ball, we call it must run. When you really want to run the ball and do it out of big groups that protect the edges and all that, that's something kind of in our DNA a little bit. Been that way a long time, so we definitely want to live in that world if we can.
On the topic, the tight ends and the versatility they shared as perimeter blockers,
yeah,
for
right.
You yesterday. Just how important is that, especially as you know, Mark and Isaiah are pass catching guys, to show themselves as blockers, how important is that for the offense?
That's such a great point, Ryan. I mean, the perimeter blocking was okay the first 2 weeks. It was outstanding in this game. Those guys, I'm going to tell you what, Mark Andrews might have had 3-4 pancakes. Isaiah Likely, he was out there reaching guys. The wide receivers had our best blocking game in a long time. I mean, those guys were blocking. I can think of Nelson Aguilar coming down and getting the free safety right over the ball one time, which is kind of, you don't see that too often. Zay Likely crack blocking down on defensive end. Those kind of things are really what make, to me, that kind of unselfish play, you know, being willing to, you know, there's one ball carrier and there's 10 blockers, so to speak. I mean, even Lamar's a blocker when he carries out a fake, say, you know. You're all helping the ball carrier one way or another. And our guys are really buying into that, you know, and that's something that we just got to keep building on.
Andrews played many fewer snaps than he would in maybe a typical week. Was that purely a matter of the style that you guys ended up playing?
Yeah, I mean, you had a lot of big groups on there, kind of to your point about the personnel groups and stuff like that. I think guys will play different amounts, different games, you know, with our different guys that we have. Didn't I bring this up a week or two ago? We'd go one way and then someone wouldn't play, and then that question would be, why didn't that guy play? You know, I think that's probably going to be something, it'd be every week. You know, there'll always be, you know, somebody didn't get the ball thrown to him or didn't get many touches or wasn't on the field as much. It's probably going to be a part of the game plan each week. And a lot of it's how the game goes too, you know. But Mark did what he was asked to do in the game, you know, and it just turned out that way. It wasn't like he wasn't in the pass routes. He could have been throwing the ball. It just didn't come his way. But the blocks came his way. You know, he was out there blocking those guys, and he did a great job.
John, I noticed that Nate Wiggins got cleared, and then he was essentially starting. He did get hit with a couple of penalties, but what did you see from him, and where is he at now?
Yeah, I think Nate competed real hard out there. I think Nate, that was a learning game for Nate probably. You know, he had some really good plays. He knocked that ball out down there going in. That was a massive play for us. So proud of him for that. And then other times I think he learned, you know, NFL football sometimes. I mean, we got one pass interference penalty where he didn't even touch the guy. So, but he got another one where he grabbed the guy, you know. So, you know, you got to learn from that. And he will. Some of the leverages he'll learn from. But Nate's a competitor. He's tough. He wants to be good. Love everything about, you know, who he is and where he's going as a player.
John, you described the, you know, late night session film, early morning session today. You know, in that context, what are you kind of seeing from Zach Orr? Obviously, a real tough job coming in from what the defense was last year. In the secondary hasn't been what, you know, everybody wants. Mm-hmm. What are you kind of seeing as he addresses those issues and really kind of scares what he's got to do?
Yeah, and that's the challenge of coaching. You know, you want everything to go great, and you know, we're coaching so many things. You know, the structure of the defense is the same. You know, there's things that have been added, but that's none of those things are causing any problems. It's just some basic execution, really, in the fourth quarter of games. That's really what the issue has been, and that's got to get cleaned up. And that's, you know, guys knowing what to do, and they do, and just doing it. So I think Zach's doing a good job of letting those guys – he's been very clear about what he expects. He's done a great job of making the corrections, drilling the corrections, getting the corrections practiced, you know. And the guys got to go out there and do it, and they will. So nothing ever comes too easy. Sometimes it comes easy in first three or four games, and it's like, man, this is the best of something that there's ever been, and all of a sudden it's not so good anymore, you know. There's always this kind of process and evolution, and nothing's ever as good. Nothing's ever as bad sometimes as it seems. It's that way in football for sure. So when I watch the details of the defense, you know, and we talk through all this stuff, we can see where the issues are, and you just fix them, you know, and steadily you play better. And it's not so much that we're at this level and we're not good or we got to. It's just we got to play more consistently. You know, the way we played in the first half should be the way we play the whole game. I mean, just play that way the whole game. We're capable of doing it, and let's go do it.
John, with Derrick Henry, how impressed were you watching the game back? I mean, it's kind of vintage Derrick, what we saw yesterday in kind of his first breakout game for your team.
Did you see his suit and his hat? Huh? Was that impressive? That was I was impressed with the suit and the hat, but I was a lot more impressed with the game. You know, as a football coach, man, I tell you, that was that was fun. And I, you know, it's like Derek said, it's a team effort. Football is a team game. But we gave him some space, our offensive line, the scheme. I thought the game plan was really good. I thought Lamar created some space for him as well. Like you said, you guys all said, the perimeter blocking, all that stuff created the space that he needed to go be who he is. And he was who he is. He made a couple runs, too, with vision, you know, where he'd start inside and bounce outside there, you know, or he'd cut back, you know. He saw some things that, you know, that not every back sees all the time. So, and then once he gets that momentum going, man, he's tough. He's different. So, yeah, I was excited about that.
John, speaking of Henry, he talked after the game that he challenged the offensive line to, you know, improve and to push them, the support that he was working out with them, and just what can you say about that kind of leadership and how he approached it that resonates with your team?
Yeah. Well, he's highly respected, and he's a really good person, and he's really supportive of the guys. You know, he's that kind of a guy. So he challenges him in a way, I think, that is, you know, you're capable of so much more. Let's go be that, you know. And then, like you said, dig in there and work with him on it. You know, that's, I think, what he talked about, right? So, yeah, I mean, you see it. He's down there in pre-practice. You guys saw him last week before practice working with the guys in the pass protection stuff out there before when the special teams are going. So that's genuine leadership.
Coach, with Lamar, his time to throw has kind of significantly decreased over the past 3 weeks, almost half a second less from week one.
He says anything, sorry.
Lamar's time to throw has dropped significantly.
You mean getting the ball out quicker?
Yeah. Yeah. Is that kind of something that's part of the game plan, especially going up against a guy like Micah Parsons?
Yeah, I mean, I think on time rhythm passing is important. You know, that's something that we want to be able to be good at because it takes pressure off of the protection, it takes pressure off the routes, it takes pressure off Lamar. That should be a big part of what we do. I mean, even like the boot early to Charlie, you know, that's a play-action pass and misdirection pass, what we call a movement pass, but it balls out pretty quick there, right? So those kind of things, the more we can do those things, keep the defense, you know, hit them quick, keep them moving, get them going one way, throw it the other way, or Lamar makes a read and brings it back over here with a quick throw. Those are yards that, execution yards, that really take a lot of pressure off the rest of the format.
Along those lines, you talked about Lamar's play faking earlier, and his ball handling yesterday looked exceptional. At times on TV, you couldn't even tell who had the ball. How important is that now, taking the offense to another level, and how impressed were you when you watched it yesterday?
Yeah, I was impressed. I was looking the wrong way a couple times, you know. That's what you want. I said, tell Lamar, if you fool me, man, you're definitely fooling the defense, but... that's been a big part of our offense for quite a few years now, right? And I think the fact that we've been able to maintain that through this transition style-wise a little bit has been really important because it's just one of the things that makes Lamar unique. You know, he's got amazing ability, you know, with his hands, you know, and to do that, some of that stuff that he does just so naturally is pretty rare. So you got to take advantage of it. I mean, you got to use that. If someone has a gift like that, you have to use it. And seeing it pay off, it's something the defense is. I hear every week about how who's playing Lamar at quarterback and how they're working out and stuff. That's kind of what they're talking about. You know, that has to be respected. They have to spend time on that.
Coach, I know you said every game is a must-win situation, but just based on NFL history, did 0-3 seem like almost a death sentence if you got there?
Well, no one wanted that. You know, that's not something that we wanted, so... you know, that's what made the fourth quarter so interesting. You know, I mean, it was tough. You know, it was challenging fourth quarter. I was proud of the guys in the sense that they finished. You know, would have liked to have seen the job done a little sooner. You know, but we finished. You know, and at the end of the day, you have to find a way to finish and get the job done, and they did. So, with that, we just got to get better. You know, with all the little things that we do you know, get stops in the fourth quarter, get first downs in the fourth quarter, put points on the board when we have a chance to do it. All those things the guys know about.
Everyone's talked about what Rashad Bateman's capable of when he gets opportunities. What are your thoughts on what he was able to contribute yesterday?
Yeah, I was really happy, you know, for Rashad. I just feel like he's open a lot, you know, because he runs such good routes and Lamar finds him, you know, and it's starting to just really grow. So You know, we've got the two young wide receivers out there, and I talk to those guys all the time about they're the future and the present, you know. And we've got the tight ends, and we've got the veteran Nelly, you know, doing his thing in there. And you see Tylan will go out there, and, he makes his plays, and sometimes he does the dirty work, you know, and he does it so well. Justice Hill, you know, I mean, all these guys are just critical elements of what we're trying to do. And but Bates' upside is phenomenal.
On the onside kick that they recovered, is there any detail to coach beyond just pick the ball up? I mean, or like what? Yeah. You know, what do you take from?
Well, yeah, there's kind of a technique to that, and I think sometimes you get a little over anxious sometimes maybe, but you know that kick is not a new kick. It's been around for about 4 years. That little slide roller that bows back. It's on turf. You know, we don't play on turf a lot, so maybe that was a little bit different for us, but. I think it's something that we just have to, it's like everything else. You got to chase every detail and you try to be in front of everything as much as you can. But I promise you that we're going to spend some time this week for all those guys picking up all those kicks on turf and on grass. You know, we'll do that, you know, and then sometimes you just got to go, oh, okay, boy, it's got to get your attention. And you can't overlook something like that when it comes up, because that would have sealed the game. Game was over. I was happy. When they went onside kick, I was happy. I was like, all right, we'll get this onside kick. We'll go down there. We'll get points. More time will be off the clock. The game's going to be ours, you know. And we cracked the door open. We opened the door a little bit there. And that's what you got to learn as a team. And our guys know that. And you just got to go do it. And once you start doing that and you start closing the door on people, you start kind of choking the life out of the game a little bit, that's when you become a really good closing football team. And we're going to get there.